Well, let me ask you, like I said, a redundant question, kind of a loaded question, if you will. What do you think is God's greatest desire for mankind?
Have a relationship with him.
Okay. And beyond that, I mean, we see that in Genesis 1 where it says God would walk with Adam during the cool of the day, and they would visit and share and have that relationship. What else do you think is the greatest desire that God had for mankind?
To glorify himself. Bring glory to him.
Okay.
I mean, everything we do, I mean,
And those are good.
You're looking for something more specific?
I'm probably throwing something out here that nobody's really, I'm not probably throwing it the right way.
He wanted us to reproduce.
And replenish the earth, right? That's all. I thought that was interesting, how God said to replenish the earth when there's only Adam and Eve. But anyway, let's read Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And I'll read it. I think I have the New King James Version. Let's read that. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, remember we talked about this last week, how God, Elohim, the triunity God said, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion, and listen to that word dominion, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God wants us to have dominion. I believe that's one of the greatest desires of God. Not only did he create us, but he also created us to have dominion over everything in this earth. And he goes through the list there, the cattle, all the beasts, everything that creeps and crawls and flies, and all the land, everything. And so, most of the time when I study the Bible, I start breaking it down and looking at the Greek or the Hebrew. And the word for dominion, or first let's go back to the word make. When God said, let us make man in our image, that word make, if you look up the four letter number that goes with it, is 26 or 6213. It's the Hebrew word asah, and it means to appoint or give charge of. So he said, not only we're going to make man and create him, but we're going to give him authority. We're going to give him dominion. The word dominion is radah, which means to subjugate or to rule over. Well, God created man and said, look, this is all yours. Did God create us just to walk away and leave us at the mercy of the earth? I mean, we look sometimes and people will say, well, if God's a just God, why does he allow this to happen? Why does he allow this to happen? Well, God gave us provision. God, when he made man, he said, look, we're giving you dominion. We want you to subjugate this earth. Take control over everything. Remember, Gail, you remember the story you were telling about the friend of yours with the mean dog?
She didn't have a mean dog. It was just that I was walking in my neighborhood and this Doberman came up and his teeth were, he was growling, and I was only a teenager, but what little bit I'd heard from church, I looked at the dog and said, in the name of Jesus, depart from me, or something like that, and the dog left.
It took off.
Yeah, I was amazed. I thought, this really works.
It really does. Well, you see.
I'm not meaning to be silly about it, but I mean, right. You do things, and you think, okay, Lord, the Lord puts the thoughts there, and you do it, and you think, wow.
Yep.
You're just in awe of his power.
That happens with prayer a lot of times. Sometimes we'll pray, and all of a sudden God answers our prayer, and we're like, wow, that really did work, huh? It's like we really didn't really believe, did we? So. But let me give you a literal translation of those verses. If you take the Hebrew and kind of do like an amplified, and this is what I came up with by looking at those words. And Elohim commanded and said, let us make man, giving him the authority to subjugate and have dominion over all the fish and all the streams, rivers, lakes, and oceans, over all the birds in the sky, over all the cattle, over all the earth, including the wilderness and the cities and nations of this earth, and upon every other living thing that walks, creeps, or crawls upon this earth. See, God created Adam. And the first thing, I'm glad Adam didn't create. You know what? The Mormons believe that, believe it or not, that Adam became our God. That's another lesson. But anyway, they believe what they call eternal progression, where every man can actually become a god of their own world and have their own Jesus and all their own people, angels, all that. But anyway, God created Adam, and the first thing he did was give him dominion over everything. Everything. But dominion was given away by Adam in the fall. You know, Adam had dominion over that snake, didn't he? What are some of the results? I don't think we even understand, come close to understanding what happened in the fall. What are some of the results of Adam eating that fruit? What are some of the results that happened? Some of the changes in earth.
The one big thing, I don't know about Adam, but Eve, poor thing, we have the blunt of it. She had to give birth in pain.
That's one.
I blame her for that.
That's right, that's one. Somebody else, what? There were several things. What?
I said there's so many.
Yeah.
Weeds and thorns.
Weeds and thorns and noxious plants, poisonous plants.
Relationship broken.
Relationship broken with God. There are so many.
Sin.
You know, death came in because of that. Sin and sickness, disease, viruses, bacteria, deadly bacteria.
Well, I think man started creating their own God.
Yep.
And flipped everything. Like,
right.
They think that the earth has dominion over us. I mean,
right.
The people today, I mean, they think God, the earth's the God.
Yep.
We should worship. I mean, just flipped everything.
But I think the danger sometimes here people then see work as a curse. And I think that's the thing. We're seeing that God
right.
is part of, still part of our creation.
Right.
The thorns and all of this
just make it harder.
Fall,
right.
But it wasn't the work that he cursed.
That's right.
And I think that's where our society gets a little turned around.
If you look at it, what was he told to do in the garden? He was told to keep the garden, wasn't he? That means a lot of tending and trimming back and pruning. And, yeah, I mean, God wants man to work.
Just not weeding.
Right, yeah. But it actually went to the beyond that, where man had to work by the sweat of his brow, and it just got worse and worse. I wrote down a few different things. Animals became vicious. From that moment on, serpents had to crawl on their bellies. Apparently, they must have had legs or something because God put a curse on them. From then on, they had to crawl on their belly. Man became the head of a woman. A woman's desire was turned to her husband. Death came as a result of the curse, and man would have to labor, and not just work, but labor in the fields. And like you said, that's a really good point. Thanks for bringing that up. But God wants us to work. Matter of fact, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And of course, I mean, there's times things happen that you are beyond your control. But you know, if somebody's lazy and they want to sit on the couch and drink beer, smoke pot all day, that's a different story, huh?
I like how God uses insects and animals and his word to show us the ants, you know, how they
yep.
store up for the winter,
yep.
and the eagle, how it has strength, it doesn't let anything get it down,
yep.
and they mate for life, which is what we're supposed to do,
yep.
and, you know, it's just really interesting how he does.
Yeah, the eagle is all, and flies above the storm until the storm's gone. I mean, eagles are amazing creatures. Well,
yeah, something that I always observe when I'm watching TV, the Animal Kingdom, it's something that I always, it bothers me when I look at it. And I ask people questions, they don't really have the answer. They say, oh, we didn't know that. Here is what happened. If you watch the Animal Kingdom, you never see a male dog going to a male dog. A male dog will look for a female dog.
Right.
A snake would look for a female snake, birds,
right.
Fish, everything.
Yep.
But why should we, the human being that can cook, dress, get education, work, and we are in control of the universe. We are the one God sent. God made us to control everything in these very animals. But the animals are living with some kind of wisdom that we don't want to possess. The idea we know.
Yeah. Boy,
why
not the truth.
A man marry a man?
Yep.
And when it's not, the animals do not do that.
Yep.
And
that's the wickedness of man.
The question, they say, oh, but I didn't know about that. I say it's true.
Yep.
I watch animals and see how they teach us. You see, you talk about ants. We don't prepare for the future. We don't prepare for disaster. We always wait to look up to somebody. No, no, no.
Yep.
That's not how God made us.
That's right. Well, that's the wickedness of man. Man's after their own lust and their own desires. Genesis 3:19 says, kind of at the end of this, it says, in the sweat of thy face, God's talking to Adam, he says, shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it you were taken, from dust you are, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. I want to read a commentary I read about that. The commentary says, this foretells the hard labor which man would endure under the conditions of the curse. The very elements would be adverse, making him suffer for his sin. Hard labor would break him down physically, finally resulting in death. Deserts, barrenness, weeds, poisons, germs, and every other form of curse were to add to man's punishment until he would finally return to the cursed ground himself. The plants were affected so that weather conditions would become a problem. Until the final restoration of all things, man's whole existence was to be one of constant hardships, sufferings, and trials. In the new earth, there will be no more curse, praise the Lord. Everyone will be as it was before Lucifer's rebellion in the pre-adamant world and before man's rebellion in the adamant world. Christ's purpose in the millennial reign will be to rid the earth of all rebellion and curse so that man can carry out his original assignment of helping God administer the affairs of the universe. Did you know that even in the thousand-year reign, millennial reign of Christ, some countries are not going to worship God, Jesus as Lord, even though he's set up as king of the world in Jerusalem? It says that those countries that won't go send a bunch of people to him to pay homage to him said there'll be drought and famine in their lands. Talks about there's some people will still refuse to acknowledge him as Christ. That just doesn't make any sense to me. By the end of that 1,000 years, he'll have all that under control and all of it taken care of. Why is it if we're not under the curse of the law anymore, you know, God took care of that through Christ, why is it so many Christians still suffering? Why are so many of them still sick? Why do they have defeat in their life? Why do so many of them struggle financially? Why does it just seem like everything comes against them? Anybody have any ideas?
Sometimes we cause our own problems.
Very true. Very true.
I think what my own observation is that the churches we meet in life has a part to play for our future.
What? Say that again?
The churches.
Okay.
The choices that we make.
Yep.
They play part in our future.
Yep.
Like, let's say, for example, if I smoke and my wife doesn't smoke or my kids do not smoke, but I smoke right in front of them, why am I teaching them? For me, it's pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But even though, when you find, you see, a lot of stuff that went on with us, even we the Christian, we're supposed to know better.
Right.
We violate the truth. We don't want to believe the truth. We don't want to follow the truth. If somebody told you, smoking and drinking, all of these things that we want to do, if the pastor comes out and starts saying it, you see, people walk out of the church because they don't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever affects us is a matter of choice.
Right.
Even our leaders,
yep.
What they do to affect the population is a matter of choice.
Right.
Because they know exactly how much population you have, how yeah. much fund and money you can make within the country. So if you see people suffering, it's a matter of choice.
Yep.
You made a choice to either help or let people suffer.
That's right.
So everything we do is a matter of choice.
Yep.
Whether people are affected or not, it is a matter of choice.
That's right. Yeah.
Sometimes that God allows things to happen to you to build your character and to bring glory to his name. And also, I've looked at people that are, in my book, are really A-class Christians, and they have had multiple sufferings
yeah.
or problems. And it's not because they've done anything bad, but I think it's Satan trying to defeat them. Darts are thrown at them, you know, and to hold them back from doing God's will.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a number of things that...
Part of it's just being human sometimes.
Right,
that's just
right.
Some of it comes to the territory. See?
Can I read John 9 1? Okay. I'll get back to it. And this is healing the blind man. And as Jesus passed by, saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, answered, it was neither this blind man nor his parents, but it was so that God's works of God might be displayed in him. And we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming, no one can work. So some just bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm. And one of these days, I'll show you a little different translation of that verse, too. It's real interesting. I mean, I agree with you, but I'll show you. There's two schools of thought on that. But that's good. And choices is good. Part of just being human causes problems.
God's ultimate goal is to conform us to the image of Christ.
Right.
And he's going to do whatever it takes to get us there. And sometimes that's bad things.
Yep.
And then another, I don't know where the scripture is, but it talks about how sometimes our sufferings are so that we can help someone else in the future. So, you know, I have a friend, her son died, her second son died, her husband died. She's a wonderful Christian woman. Why? But her ministry now is in the grief sharing program.
That's good.
And who better to talk to you about losing a loved one than a woman who's lost three in 3 years?
Yep. If you've never been through that, how can you minister to somebody?
You don't understand sometimes why God allows these things. Only he does.
Right. That's good. Well, let's look at some other things. Those are all good. Choices, I thought, was a really good one, too. Because, you know, I shared last week, you think about Jonah. Remember when he was told to go to Nineveh and to share the gospel? He hated the people from Nineveh. All that the Jews did, these people would skin people alive. I mean, they were wicked. They weren't quite as wicked as we are in this country, but they were wicked, okay? I mean, this country is about as wicked as it gets. But anyway, he went down and got on a boat going the other direction, didn't he? And all of a sudden the storm started. Well, who caused the storm? God caused the storm. And the captain of the ship had all the sailors pray to their gods to find out what they could do to stop the storm. And he came to Jonah and finally said, why aren't you praying? You pray to your God too. And he said, look, I'm the reason. Throw me overboard and this storm will stop. And like I said, a lot of times we don't need prayer. We need a splash. Because a lot of times we know what we're supposed to be doing, right? And we go the opposite direction. We don't do what God wants us to do. And then we run and we cry to people and say, oh, pray for me, put me on the prayer list instead of getting a splash like we need. You know what I'm saying? So, but let's go on with this. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's one big reason right there. A lot of people don't know the authority and the dominion that they have because of what Christ did. Christ restored that dominion to us in the atonement. That's big. We were talking about this morning about, or last week, about the name of Jesus, that there's power of life and death in his name. And we just don't take that seriously sometimes. You see somebody take Jesus' name in vain. They don't realize what they're doing. There's the power of life and death in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lot of Christians have no clue that the kingdom of God is right here. You know, that's what I've been trying to get across. If I could get anything across during this whole teaching is that the kingdom of God is right here. All you got to do is reach in and take what you need. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. God has restored you to that relationship and even a better relationship than what Adam had. Adam didn't know right from wrong. He didn't know good from bad. But yet when he ate that fruit, he did. So we've got to realize that God's kingdom is here. It's now. We've got to realize we've been restored to that relationship with God where we can walk in that. We've got to realize the reality of the kingdom and the availability of that kingdom. Most Christians, you know, I grew up, I didn't know there was even such a thing as healing. Even though I went to a Baptist church all my life, I'd never heard of a miracle. Never. When I was 18 years old, my brother got cancer, and I remember reading that we were desperate to find some answer. And I got to reading in the book of Acts, and I'm like, good grief, there's miracles in there. What's up with this? I'd never heard that in church. Now, that's not norm for a Baptist church, but honestly, I'd never heard that. I didn't know God did things like that. And then I found out more things that God does. But what we need to do is we need to realize God's kingdom is here. And if you don't know what those promises are in the kingdom, get in the Word and find. Remember when I passed that box around at the very first of this thing months ago, and everybody took a scripture out? That's the way we do with God's kingdom. We go, we get in the Word of God, we find scriptures that apply to us, and God works in our lives. There's a lady, her son's a very famous minister in the country, and she came down with cancer. Her husband was a pastor at the time, and she had cancer, and they told you have like 2 months to live. It was really bad. And so she went to all the top name faith healers and preachers and everybody in the country, and they all laid hands on her and prayed for her, and nothing worked. She still had cancer. So she decided, I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to read from front to back. I'm going to find every scripture that deals with healing. And she did that. She began to study the Word, and guess what? 2 months wouldn't get by, and she was still alive. She still had cancer. She kept reading, and she kept believing God, and she said that her faith began to grow, that God is our healer. And first thing you know, she's clear of cancer. She's still alive today, and that's been 30 years ago. I mean, she's got to be almost 90 years old. So anyway, God, we've got to get in the Word and see what God has to say.
You see, it's the same thing like I was saying. We still back to choice. You see, what God has done, God invaded the universe. It was taken by Satan. This time around, God invaded the whole world, the earth, so that he could redeem man.
Yep.
When Satan came and took away the authority which God had given to Adam and Eve, and God in return came to earth to invade and take over authority. And that authority, he said, the kingdom of God is here. But it's here, it's within, because Jesus said, I'm going to go to the Father.
Right.
And he will send another comforter.
Right.
And he will be within you.
Right.
Because everything you're going to hear, it will come from me.
Yep.
So therefore, the kingdom of God is within us.
That's right.
We need to apply it. It's a matter of choice.
Yep.
If you think you're going to, God is able to help us in every aspect of life, but we have to choose which way to go.
Right. But you've got to know that first. You've got to know that that kingdom of God is there.
The kingdom of God.
Right.
You've got to know that you possess it.
Hosea said we are destroyed for our lack of knowledge.
Yes.
So many Christians don't know. Like I said, I grew up in a church that didn't teach this stuff. And you know what? There are other churches out there today that thank God our church does. Matter of fact, when Barbara and I came here, I said, well, we're going to see. I didn't think I'd ever come back to a Baptist church just because of what happened then. But we knew that God had called us here. And first thing you know, they start, well, we're having healing meetings. We're doing this, we're doing that. I'm like, man, that's awesome. That's what God's there, you know. We've got to act. When we find out about these things and we realize the kingdom of God's there, that we can take these things, we've got to act. We've got to reach in, take what we need from the Scriptures. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We need to live boldly as surrogates for Christ. We are the mouthpiece of Jesus. We're the hands of Jesus on this earth. As we go out, you know what? If we go in the name of Jesus, nothing can touch us if we walk in God's authority. You remember the 12 apostles? I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let me go back a minute. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, will not prevail against it. When Jesus looked at Peter, he says, you're a rock. And then he says, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. You know what? If you couldn't read the Greek, you wouldn't. Oh, wait. I'm kidding. Anyway, what is it, 10?
Okay. No, it's 5 after. I've been playing my watch for 5.
Well, I didn't look at you. She told me you better look at me. I didn't look at her. But anyway, if you didn't know the Greek, you would think that Jesus is saying to Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. Well, that's not what he's saying. If you look at the Greeks, see, the Catholic Church took that, and they said that Peter is the first pope and all this stuff. And it's what's funny is that, you know, a Catholic priest can't be married, but yet Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. So Peter was married, wasn't he? At least I don't know how you have a mother-in-law without being married. But anyway, Peter, the name Peter is Petros, which means a piece of rock. But Jesus said, but upon this rock, speaking of himself, the word Petra, which means a mass of rock, he said, I will build my church. In other words, Jesus is saying, upon the word of God, I'm going to build my church. Not upon Peter, but upon the word of God, he's going to build the church. And Jesus said that nothing, Satan itself and gates of hell, would not prevail against the church. Well, Jesus sent the 12 apostles out. Remember that? Let me find the scripture on that. Where did I put that? Bart, come here and find it for me. I know it's there. Let me follow my notes and maybe I'll get there in a minute. But anyway, as individual members of the church, Satan can prevail against you. If you don't know God's authority, if you walk in sin, Satan's going to have dominion over you, isn't he? It's your choice to walk in sin or not walk in sin. But as a whole, Satan will never destroy the church. Never. We can walk in victory in all the areas of our life if we realize what took place in the atonement and we understand our right standing in God. You know what? Prosperity doesn't mean having $1 million in your bank account. That's where we mess up. we think, especially in this country, that if I have a bunch of money in the bank, then God prospered me. That's like I told you last week about Lester Sumrall, who went around the world preaching the gospel for 40-something years. He had $14 in his pocket when he left. He realized that money didn't matter. Money wasn't going to make him or break him. It was Jesus Christ that did. The word subdue, we talked about dominion. The word subdue is the word, have you ever heard the word kibosh? We're going to put the kibosh on it. That's a Hebrew word, kibosh. And it means to tread down, to force, or to bring into subjection. Our first word for dominion, rada, gives the idea that God gives man the authority to govern over all that is willing to be governed. But when we get to the word kibosh for subdue, it means that God grants man the authority over all the untamed and rebellious. So you see, God gives authority over everything of this earth. Whether they're rebellious or not, God gives us authority. And I read this quote as I was studying this. It said, in both instances, God gave man a sweeping and total mandate of dominion over this planet and everything in it. I tell you what, we are the mouthpiece of Christ. We're the hands of Christ in this earth. And a lot of times we don't act like it because we don't realize that. We don't really realize. Like when you said, it really did work. Have you ever laid your hands on somebody and seen them get healed? It's one of the most awesome things in the world. Have you ever laid your hands on somebody and not seen them not get healed? I heard Oral Roberts say one time, he said, I've laid hands on more people than any man in the face of the earth. And he said, I've seen more people get healed on the face of the earth than any other man. But he said, I've seen more people not get healed than any other man too. Sometimes we don't know why. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret thing belongs to the Lord, but the things that are revealed to us and our children are forever. Sometimes we don't know.
I'm sorry, what verse is that?
Deuteronomy 29:29. God intended for man to govern the earth as man was governed by God. What's happened, I think, Steve, you may have brought it up. What happened is man wants to govern the earth without being governed by God. That's where we mess up. Mm-hmm. We try to take it in our own way and do it our own way. I think I read Isaiah 58 a few weeks ago in here, and it talks about how employers should treat their employees. And when they do that, God will bless your country. That's one of the things. And look at this country. The CEOs make millions and millions and millions of dollars, and their employees make $8 or $9, and then they want to cut their pay and their benefits more. You know, that's just something wrong with that. Man wanted to be like God without submitting to God's authority. Who's that remind you of? And where does that nature come from? It comes from Satan, doesn't it? Adam and Eve were given dominion over serpents. You know what? They could have said no to that serpent in the garden, couldn't they? They could have said, get out of here. They could have killed it. You know, they could have said, look, we're not doing this. But the Bible tells us, you know, a lot of men, especially, I guess, used to want to blame Eve for it all. You know, male showing those pigs, I guess they call them, when it really was Adam. Eve was deceived. She didn't realize what she was doing wrong, but Adam did. And so when Adam took that fruit, he legally gave the dominion to Satan. It was Satan's then. Well, there was a problem there. God wanted to redeem mankind, so he had to have Christ come and live perfectly. We all know the story. So he could take the sin of mankind and take that authority and dominion back from Satan and then give it back to us. Why in the world God put up with us that long, I'll never understand. His mercy is unending, isn't it? Pretty amazing. Dominion's written, restored to born-again believers. By not understanding the law of dominion, we've violated the law of responsibility. If we don't understand we have this law of dominion, then we don't live in the responsibility that we have as Christians to see the dominion taken over with people. You know, like sickness and disease, we can pray for people and rebuke sickness and disease. And you know what? I believe God heals. You know, it doesn't matter whether we see it with our eyes. Do we base our faith on what we see or what we don't see? We shouldn't, should we? So the Bible tells us we should pray for people. Whether they get healed or not, that's God's business. You know, when I first became a Christian and I had this great experience with the Lord, I was so turned on and I wanted everybody else to have what I had. But I didn't know how to share Jesus. And I was worried about it. It scared me. I thought, I don't know how to go talk to these people about Jesus. So what did I do? I just didn't do anything because I didn't know what to say. Well, they had this program called Evangelism Explosion, which started in Fort Lauderdale. And they had it at our church, and I thought, oh, this is some kind of canned presentation. The Holy Spirit won't be able to move and all this stuff. Well, they asked me to join, and what they do is they had groups of three. I don't know how they do it. I think they do it differently. But that way you never had, you know, like two men, one man, one woman, or like that. You always have two men, one woman, or two women, one man. But we would go out on Friday nights, and what you do is you start off with your testimony. You start writing up your testimony, and you share just a little bit each week, and then you share a little more and a little more until you finally give your testimony and you present the gospel. Well, we saw miracles every Friday night. We saw people get saved that I thought would never get saved. It was just really amazing how the Holy Spirit moved. And you know what? What's neat is it gives you a base to share the gospel, but it doesn't lock you into something if the Holy Spirit wants to move you another way. I really would recommend every one of you in here take that at least once. Take one course of it to learn how to share the gospel. Let me get where I was at here. Let me ask you, if we treat things in this life with the dominion that God's given us, how do you think the world would run? How do you think we would treat people? We'd take care of them, wouldn't we? We wouldn't walk away when somebody was hungry. If we were CEO, we wouldn't take millions and millions and millions of dollars while everybody else, our employees, were starving. I heard the other day, if somebody threw a German Shepherd over an overpass on some freeway, and it broke its hip, hi Dave, it broke its hip and it punctured a lung, and they said the PCA or whatever you call that picked up the medical bills at like $2,500. But do you think we'd do that as Christians that have dominion, that really are walking in God's word and God's light? That's sad, isn't it? The Bible actually talks about how we should treat our animals and people. We talked about how the world's flipped upside down ever since man walked away from God. God gave us dominion over plants and over vegetables. So look what happened with tobacco. Do you know tobacco actually has some medicinal values? And you can use it for medicine. But what's happened? People use the cigarettes, they use it for the wrong thing. Marijuana has tons of medical benefits. But what happens? People use it for recreational use. It messes them up. Alcohol comes from plants, but people use that in the wrong way. And Satan uses those things to cause people to do horrible things. And I'm almost through here. As a result of judgment on countries, storms and natural disasters fall. I remember reading a book, this guy's name, his last name was McMullen, spelled with an A, just like mine. His initials were J.S., just like mine. And he said that when he was a kid, they lived out in Kansas in this big flat field. And he said one day a tornado was coming right at their house. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been in tornadoes. I've been right in the middle of three of them, and I hate them. Those people that go hunt storms, they are nuts. Stay away from them. They're crazy. But anyway, he said this tornado was coming toward their house, and the dad walked out, raised his hand, and said, "In the name of Jesus, go away." And he said instantly that tornado turned and went the other way. I believe that. You know, maybe you don't. I do. I believe it. I believe God gives us authority over these things. Remember when Jesus said, Mark 4:39, he got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Jesus wants us to do the same things he did, doesn't he? He says we'll even do greater things. So, as a nation falls from God, natural disasters increase. Enemies come against you. Remember the other day they said that North Korea is getting ready to fire a rocket that could reach Los Angeles? That's just another thing of judgment, I think, coming to our country because of sin the people here have chosen. Let me finish up here real quick. When Jesus sent the 12 out, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. When you proclaim the gospel, there's power and miracles follow that. Did you know these guys weren't even saved then? They weren't saved until you read in the back of the book of John, after Jesus was resurrected, he walked into the room and he had Thomas put his hands or fingers in the holes in his hands, and then he went to each apostle and breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." That's when they got saved, I believe. But these guys were unregenerated men going in the power and the authority of God. So how much more power do we have as Christians when we share the gospel? We should never be afraid to share the gospel. Jesus sent the 70 out. He said, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." So as we walk in the law of dominion, we share the gospel, we've also have the law of miracles going on with us. Closing scripture, remember, we're not struggling against flesh and blood, but for the struggle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:10, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled. After, you used to have to do this in seminary. The dean of the school taught a class, and we had to get up and do the motions every day in his class. I thought it was silly, but we did this. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. We put on the belt of, I mean, we really had to do that every day. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then in the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And I'll read my conclusion and I will be through and we'll finish the series. This concludes our series on the secret kingdom. It is my hope that you have grown in the Lord and in the knowledge of His word through this study. Let me encourage you to go back and look over the outlines and listen to the recordings of the lessons. If you have questions, please let me know and we'll find the answer. In this study, we spoke about the kingdom of God that is available and accessible to those of us who trust in Christ. Jesus spent most of his time on earth speaking about his kingdom and teaching us about it. The kingdom of God is right here. It is not far away or hard to access. When we need something, we reach into the kingdom and take what we need. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. All good things are available now. The invisible world is just as real as the visible. In this series, we went through the laws that govern the God's kingdom. They are the law of reciprocity, the law of use, the law of perseverance, the law of responsibility, the law of greatness, unity, miracles, and dominion. If you learn to walk in God's precepts, these laws will work for you just as the law of gravity works. There is no reason that any Christian should be living in defeat on this earth, and they won't have to walk in defeat if they will walk in the Spirit.